Kentucky Auditor Mike Harmon has released the first volume of the statewide single audit of Kentucky, and he says the findings identify within the Office of Unemployment Insurance and Unemployment Insurance Fund should be deeply concerning to taxpayers and those who have filed for unemployment insurance benefits. He's on the line with us now. Mike Harmon, welcome to Eastern Standard.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
Very good. And if you would first give our listeners a brief overview of your findings about the state's unemployment insurance system.
Sure. Well, this is a release of what we call our SWAG, the Statewide Single Audit of Kentucky. Every year we do three major audits of Kentucky. One of them we just got through releasing back in December, which is our audit of the CAF, or the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. And then the SWAC Volume 1, which is what we just released, usually occurs about this time, and then SWAC Volume 2 will come a little bit later. In this particular year, as we were looking over the different agencies, the Office of Unemployment had about half the findings. There were a total of 25 findings. The Office of Unemployment is about half of them. And obviously, this was a challenging time. The pandemic was coming on. Businesses were being shut down. And then certainly unemployment was, we had people towards the end of the March, there was well over 40-some thousand individuals 1 week, and the following week, well over 100,000. So it was a challenging time. But during this time, sadly, if we were working for the unemployment, it appears that there was really a systemic failure in leadership when it comes to address it. Because obviously, they were well-intended, but leadership made a decision to do what they called auto pay, probably a well-intentioned attempt to try to get checks out to people who were unemployed as quickly as possible. But what happened was when they did that, you took off certain controls, and part of those controls made it more subject to fraud. So you got a situation where you've got an aging system, you've got fewer people, but then you've also got situation where you're creating more problems than you're solving. Some of the things that we found, beyond that, we found sadly when everybody was trying to get through and couldn't get through to try to get their unemployment, we found that there was over 400,000 emails that were just archived. They were not even opened. Some of the other things that we found, and probably directly connected to the auto pay, there were state workers that still held a full-time position, but had lost income due to a part-time job. And of course, everybody was encouraging everybody to apply for unemployment if they lost any income at all. So individuals applied, and we did a sampling. We did a survey or test of about 37 of those. We found 16 of those 37 received unemployment benefits that really were not eligible. And part of the reason, that we believe that occurred for about a 2 week period for traditional unemployment and about an 8 week period for the new pandemic unemployment. When that auto pay was put on, certain questions were not asked, controls were taken off. And one of the questions they would generally ask is, if you're a full-time employee, but they would ask what sort of income that you have currently. And so they would look at that, and there would be a percentage of that, and then that would subtract from what you would be eligible for unemployment. And typically, that would yield a zero. But that question was not asked during that time frame. And we found that there was approximately, of those that we tested, there was about $116,000 in payments paid out that really were not supposed to. Now, and remember, that's a sampling, so that number could actually be larger.
On the emails, let me ask you this. Is
sure.
I think we have a number of 400,000 total unanswered.
Correct.
Received in various state agency inboxes. And does that number represent 400,000 emails from 400,000 people, or many emails sent to multiple inboxes by far fewer people?
These were emails that were sent to the unemployment assistance line. So basically, people where they were trying to either get information to them or had questions about their unemployment, that were just moved over, that were never opened, were archived. You know, it looks like, based on what our auditors found, there was a period where they were trying to sort and organize them. And I guess they just got so overwhelmed, they just kind of gave up and, you know, moved them over without even opening them. But I would think at a minimum, you could get individuals to, you know, prioritize first in, first out, and review it. Because, you know, during that same time frame, there were some tips that came over via email regarding security breaches, you know, security breaches of information, which is also in a report. So really, if you're not reviewing the information, you don't know whether or not someone was sending another email about an additional breach, or whether they were trying to figure out whether, you know, about their unemployment. Because, you know, I had, like I said earlier, I had multiple people reach out to me so frustrated because they were trying to call and couldn't get through, and email and couldn't get through. And even some working with their state rep and state senator still couldn't get through. So it was a very frustrating time. And I know, you know, at the time that we released our report, or when we were actually reviewing, you know, there were still 80,000 that had not been settled on their claims. And I know a news report just recently, you know, said it was, you know, a little over 100 now. So there are still individuals trying to get through the noise. So it's, you know, I'm sure it's very frustrating for individuals that they just can't get through, and, you know, emails, that many emails were ignored.
Could it be argued that problems that had been building for decades led to this backlog, including cutting staff?
Yeah, I think there, you could, to a portion of the argument, you could say that, you know, we had dated, you know, computer systems, you know, staff had been cut. And if my understanding, there had been some cut not only during the previous administration, but the administration previous to that. But even if you had the best system, even if you had the number of people you felt like you should have, if you turn the controls off, if you turn off those key questions, you're going to create more problems. So my guess is, if they had not turned those controls off, they still would have had challenges, but they perhaps would not have created those additional problems, including an increased probability of fraud. I'm sure you still have some anyway, but an increased probability of fraud by turning those controls off. So now you're trying to address people's concerns while also trying to figure out, you know, have you paid money out to people that are not supposed to receive it? And, you know, you had some situations where some of the individuals that were paid money that were not supposed to receive it are now, you know, in the process of having to pay that back. So, and then you also had, like we said earlier, you had people that were receiving unemployment that really weren't supposed to receive it, and you had people that were supposed to receive unemployment that's not getting it. So it's just very frustrating for everybody involved, I would imagine.
We're talking with Kentucky State Auditor Mike Harmon. Mike, you were a legislator in 2009-2010 when Kentucky was offered $90 million from the federal government to make several improvements to our unemployment insurance system, and that included upgrading those woefully outdated computers. But that offer was allowed to lapse, and it wasn't like we didn't realize that there were issues with our unemployment insurance system, because a task force was, in fact, looking into the problems with the system at that time, and that task force ended up focusing its recommendations on the solvency of the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund. And I'm wondering why, when we had the chance to make important changes to our program and get federal money to do it, why did we fail to take advantage of that?
Back in that time frame, I don't recall why we didn't go ahead and try to utilize that. Typically, in that, of course, I was in the minority. I was always in the minority in the House until I left, you know, to become auditor. But, you know, generally speaking, if there were funds available, especially the upgrade, we usually tried to do it. Now, I don't recall at the time, perhaps there were, you know, some severe strings attached that they just didn't want to pursue. You know, certainly, I think if it was during that time frame, which I believe you're correct, that would have been during the time frame of the previous Governor Beshear, Steve Beshear. And at that time, of course, the House was controlled by the Democrats and the Senate was still controlled by the Republicans. But I can't recall specifically, but my guess is probably there were some strings attached that one or some of those groups did not want to have tied to it.
One final question for you. We have known for decades that the system is old and our processes are inflexible. Under governors from both parties and with legislatures controlled by both parties, what could have been done in the past to prevent what has happened now that we've been faced with this major public health emergency?
Well, and the hard thing is whenever you look at a situation like this, you can look at it solely as this individual topic. But what a lot of people, you know, don't realize is every year you have to deal with multiple issues. And budget issues are always so difficult because there's always so many wonderful things that you would like to do. But at the same time, you have a limited budget to work with. It's okay to like reduce staff a little bit, but you know, people deal more with like a regional aspect. They like something that's close to them so that individuals don't have to drive so far, or if they can't get through on the telephone. But certainly making sure that we have sufficient staffing, making sure that we update our computers. But anything that we do takes money. And in the time frame you were talking about, 2008 and 2009, sadly, you know, we were dealing with some significant budget struggles, mm-hmm. not only as a state, but as a nation during that time frame. And then we were still dealing with our pension. We've been dealing with pension crisis for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those things. You have to kind of prioritize, you know, what gets the most priority while at the same time still making sure something is covered. But the ability to predict a situation like this that occurs once in 100 years, you know, it's tough. It's tough.
Kentucky Auditor Mike Harmon, we thank you so much for your time.
Well, we appreciate you having me. And certainly if you have any other questions, just let me know.
We'll do that. The auditor's report came up during Governor Beshear's briefing on the day of its release. His response.
Now, these are challenging times. And when you cut and cut and cut a safety net like previous administration or previous General Assemblies did, you leave us 90-something people short. The budget almost cut in half. All the local offices closed, and an IT system that should have been replaced 10 years ago. And then all of a sudden you have the most filings ever on top of that. You're set for the perfect storm. But to go through a little more point by point, we have Amy here. But again, you see this happening in every state across America, but it's not an acceptable excuse. People have needed our help. We've been able to help the vast majority of them. But anybody out there who still needs help that we haven't gotten to, that's our failure.
More on the matter of Kentucky's ailing unemployment insurance system coming soon on Eastern Standard.